Chris, you look good tonight. Sheesh. Wow. Now turn to the other person that you so rudely ignored. You chose someone purposefully and say, you also look fairly decent tonight. I mean, you didn't choose them first. You didn't choose them first. Hey, if we've never met before, my name is Matt Velasco. I have the privilege of serving as the high school ministry director here. I have no idea what these bin of binders are for. So if anyone needs them, you can come get them right now. But if not, it doesn't really matter. I'm also going to close this door. Hey, if you've never been here, like I said, my name is Matt Velasco. I am the high school ministry director here at Westwood Chanhassen. All that means is that I have the privilege of serving as the youth pastor here for all of y'all. And I'm so excited that you chose to spend your Wednesday night here tonight. We say something around these parts. We say this is home. And when we say this is home, it has a very specific meaning. We actually believe that this is a place that is safe, a place that is transparent, a place where you can laugh, a place where you can cry, a place where you can be celebrated, a place where you can be honest, a place where when you come back after a long time away, you can take a deep sigh of relief and say, man, it feels so good to be home. And so if this is your first time, I want to say in all honesty, welcome home. I am so glad that you are here. Tonight, we're going to be kicking off a brand new series called Save the Date, because we are going to be talking about dating, we're going to be talking about singleness, we're going to be talking about marriage, and wait for it, drum roll please, we're going to be talking about sex. That's right. That was so good. That was everything I could have ever wanted it to be. Yes. There's a lot of excitement over here. Hey, listen up. Listen up. Shh. If any of you ever go into youth ministry, you will find out that the only thing you're allowed to talk about in youth ministries during the month of February is relationships, and I'm no better than the rest of them, so we're going to be doing the same. But we're going to be talking tonight primarily about singleness. We're going to talk about singleness. We're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about it. I'm going to apologize for a couple of different things that the church has done. And we're going to talk a little bit about relationships, kind of not in passing is the right way of saying it, but we're going to talk about it kind of in the same sort of vein as how I'm going to be talking about singleness. And then next week, we have none other than Kevin and Olivia Klingbeil, who are going to be up here talking about marriage and how it reflects the gospel. I can't wait for it. And so it's a two-week series. It's going to be really good. My hope is that each and every one of you are going to learn a lot. This series means a lot to me. And I want to be transparent. The church has failed in a lot of different ways in regards to sex, dating, and relationships, and especially singleness. Every single year, me, Caroline, some parents, and some of our leaders sit down and we talk about what we want to talk about throughout the year. And every single year, some of you are tapped on the shoulder, or maybe you answer one of those like Q&A things on Instagram when I say, what do you want us to talk about from the stage? And every single year, no matter how many times we do it, every single time we do it, multiple people say, talk about singleness, because the church doesn't talk about it. In fact, singleness is probably a top one or two thing that you guys want us to talk about. And so we're going to do it, because it's exactly what you are needing, according to yourselves. Now, singleness also is something that has so often been ignored by the church. And I want you to understand two things as we go into tonight. The first one is, I understand a lot of you might be saying, but Matt, you just got engaged. How can you talk about singleness? So pause. I don't know if that was like a clapping because you're like, you're right, how can you talk about it? Or it's like another for the whole engagement. I mean, thank you, I appreciate it. But no, that's good. No, you don't need to do it. Stop. Shh. Stop it. Stop. Okay, one more time. Okay. No, so I mean it. I'm sure a lot of you are thinking that. Because so often the people who are talking about singleness are the people who are in relationships, the people who are married or whatever else it might be. But what I want you to understand is a perspective. So I'm going to ask you to shift your perspective a little bit. I have spent more time in my life single than I have in a relationship. And so I really do want you to understand that I am coming from a place of I understand what a lot of you are feeling. I have had one girlfriend in my whole entire life. And so I was single for a large majority of my life. If we look at it in terms of when I started caring about girls, it was 14. So for 6 years of my life, I was very single. In fact, I would tell you, and those of you who have known me for a long time, and some of you have even heard me say this from the stage, one of my biggest struggles was loneliness. And so I know the experience of being single. And the second thing is that I want you to understand this isn't just a message for you today. It's a message for you 5 years from now. For some of you, it's a message for you 10 years from now. And for some of you, it's a message maybe even 20 years from now. And I don't say that to make slight against you at all. In fact, we're going to talk a lot about the responses that some of you just gave to me even saying that. But the reality is this, friends. Right now, you may not be in a relationship and you're single. Some of you might be in a relationship right now, but it's not going to last forever, which means you might someday be single. This message is for both tomorrow and a year from now, when you're in college, when you're graduated, when you're 30. Because the Bible talks a lot about singleness. And so I also want to tell you one more thing, and then I'm going to invite the student who's going to be reading the scripture up front once I say these three things. The first one is I want to be cautious of three different contexts that might be in this room. I know that there's definitely more than just these three contexts are in this room, but as I was preparing this message, I was specifically thinking of these three contexts. The first one is that you're single, and this message is a breath of fresh air. You might be thinking, thank goodness they're finally talking about it. The second one is you're dating someone, but a breakup is looming. The response you might be feeling even right now, it could be refreshing, but it could also be pretty scary. And in the third context I want to be cautious of, it is some of you may be fresh out of a relationship. And so this might be a bit of a sting. Maybe you're feeling pain that you thought you were over. Maybe you're still feeling the pain and you're not over it or anywhere near it. I want to be cautious of those three contexts because each person is going to hear this message very differently. But the scripture is the same for each person. So Lucy, I'm going to have you come up front wherever you are. Yep, Lucy Kale, just to clarify. And she's going to be reading our scripture for us today. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 6. It's also going to be on the screens for you.
I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows. I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion.
Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lucy. I mean, if you want to stay up here the whole time, you can. It might be a little awkward, but it's totally up to you. P.S. Before I pray, if anyone here is like, I want to be a pastor someday, there's one art form that you should start practicing tonight. It's the ability to turn a page with a mic in your hand, because it's actually very hard. And so it's like, whatever, you don't care. Okay, let's pray. You're welcome. Lord, we love you. We are so thankful that we get to gather tonight. God, that we have the opportunity to come to you and learn, that you have given us such a good word in the form of your scripture that we can go to it and it can actually help us guide our lives. Lord, we're thankful for that. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your son. We love you, Jesus. We praise things in your name. Amen. Amen. So tonight, like I said, we're going to be talking about singleness, but more specifically, we're going to be talking about what does it mean for you to glorify God with your singleness? What does it mean for you who are single in 9th to 12th grade in high school in the southwest suburbs of Minnesota, unless you took a real hike to get here, than wherever you're from? What does it mean for you to actually glorify God with your singleness? Now, again, to go back to a point I made earlier, this could be your singleness 5 years from now. And so this is not a lesson, a message, a word just for you who are now single. It is a message for statistically about 90% of you will at some point be single if you aren't already. Statistically, 90% of you. And I want you to also understand this, that the church, like I said, has failed to address this correctly. In fact, I would actually say that we are one of the biggest factors in the way that the world views singleness. I would say that a lot of how you might even view singleness is at fault of the church. Now, I want to go to the statistics with this, because I think statistics inform a lot of how we think about things. So, marriage is becoming less of a thing early on in people's lives. In fact, we see that millennials are waiting until their late 20s to get married. In the 1960s, and I'm reading this straight from the study, in the 1960s, the average age of marriage was 22. Now it's 29. Went from 22 to 29. And so because of this, the church doesn't really have an option to talk about singleness. We must talk about singleness. Now you might be asking why. The study continues. About 50% of the United States population over 18 is single. And so my hope is that if you've thought you're all alone in this, that just hearing that would help you understand you're not. 50% of the United States population over 18 is single. And what does culture say? Culture says, so what are they doing wrong? Well, they must be lacking something. And both of those things are lies. Culture tells us that if you're single, there is something wrong with you. And what you will understand is that there are a lot of lies you are going to hear about singleness, and the church is actually at fault for the majority of them. So I'll tell you this, for example. I would argue that I'm a pretty weird guy. I'm a nerd. Like, I'm a really big nerd. You would think I was lying to you if I told you all the nerdy things that I could do or do, genuinely. And so I'll be around my friends, and I'll do something, right? I'll make a joke. I'll say something. I'll talk about an anime show I was watching or whatever else it might be. I told you, I'm a nerd. And I kid you not, some of my best friends will look at me, and they'll say, "How are you not single?" Seriously. Seriously, Ryan Wandling is at fault. I'll just call him out right here. I love him, but it's true. But in our culture, that's a totally normal thing to say, right? So I'm not offended when he says it. I laugh because, like, let's be honest, I don't know. But our culture literally uses singleness as a slight against someone. It's things like, how are you not single? Or how do you have a girlfriend? Or how are you with her or him or whatever else it might be? Or maybe on the flip side, you're hearing, why are you single? You're single? Why? How? Because our culture literally believes that singleness is a stain. We live in what is called a post-Christian culture, and all of our culture believes that the pinnacle of the human existence is to have sex. If you look at the billboards, if you listen to the music, if you watch the movies, what culture tells us is that the pinnacle, the maximum, the best human existence is to have sex. Every movie you watch, by and large, the main character, the hero, slowly falls in love, and then there's a sex scene, and all is right because everyone saw it coming, and oh my goodness, it was going to happen. Our culture tells us that the pinnacle of the human existence is to have sex, and what Scripture tells us is the opposite. So culture is going to tell you a lot of lies about singleness. When we communicate these things, whether it's by making a joke, by referring to someone's singleness as a stain, by a joke that you might make, or by a snide remark you might make, we actually perpetuate this idea that singleness means there's something wrong with you. There's this guy named J.P. Pakluda. He's a pastor down in Waco, Texas, and he's done a lot of young adults work, and he has a quote in regards to singleness. He says this. He says, Jesus was single, the most complete individual that has ever lived in the history of history was single. The greatest missionary of all time, he's talking about Paul, was also single. But not only that, he says singleness is a gift. That's what we just read. And I think it's the gift that some people wish had a receipt. I can go back to when I was sitting in that chair. When I was a freshman at Bethel, when I was a sophomore at Bethel. And I'd hear pastors pull up this scripture and they'd say, your singleness is a gift. And they'd never really talk about why. And I'd be sitting there and I'd be like, that's great. Does it have a gift receipt? And that's what JP is saying, is that that is, for so many people, the way that they view it. They don't understand how it is a gift. And so what I want to do tonight is help you understand that it is a gift. And how is it a gift? And how can you use singleness to glorify God? And friends, what I want you to understand is, if the gospel is real, if you actually hold the key to people's salvation, if what you believe is true, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came and died so that you may live and rose again, so that you may spend eternity with him. If that is true, how are you going to live differently? What are you going to change? What are you going to say? Where are you going to go? Because the gift of singleness is that you can do all of those things. See, you might ask, Matt, how do I glorify God with my singleness? How do I do it? And it's by going. The Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What is the gift of singleness? It is your ability to go therefore, no strings attached. See, I love Jay a lot, but I can't just up and leave. If I were to go to her tomorrow and I'd be like, hey, guess what? I'm going on a missions trip to China for a month. See ya. I don't think she would like that very much. But I have friends who could come to me and they could say, hey, I'm going to China for a month, going to help people understand who Jesus is, peace. They'd be able to go and do it. No strings attached. And so what are you doing with this gift that you have been given that is called singleness? Now, you might be thinking, Matt, that's for adults. Matt, that's for people with jobs. Matt, that's with people who are out of school. It's not. I don't know if you know this, but the disciples, most likely when they were called, were between the ages of 16 and 18. None of them had wives. None of them had family they were responsible. But they had the freedom to go. Friends, if you are single, you have the freedom to go. And that is the greatest gift that you can receive in this season. No, I want to be careful, or I want to be, careful is not the right word, but I want to be transparent about one thing also, or candid about one thing also. Being in a relationship also has its gifts. Being co-responsible with another person also has its ability to glorify God. You see, we know that relationships, specifically marriage, is created by God to reflect his love for us. And so for those of us who are called into relationships that lead to marriage, there is biblical significance that we must obey there also. But for those of you who are called and have been given the gift of singleness, there is also biblical significance for you too. JP actually has a question, and it's a really good question. He says that if you ask this question, it is a surefire way to 100% of the time understand whether or not someone has the gift of singleness. The way that someone answers 100% of time will tell you whether or not they have the gift of singleness. And the question you should write down, he says, because it's really important. Are you ready? So get your pens ready. Get your phones out. I want you to write down this question because if you ask it to anyone, no matter how old they are, you will be able to tell whether or not they have the gift of singleness. Okay? Are you ready? The question is this. Are you single? Because if the answer is yes, then you have the gift of singleness. It is not a, like, you know what, I don't have the gift of singleness, so this doesn't apply to me. This doesn't apply to me. No, you have the gift of singleness because you are single. And so you have the responsibility to use that singleness to the glory of God. I think if we go to one slide over, Andrew, I think I have one more piece of scripture that I don't remember if I put it up or not. I do. Good. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 through 33. Wow. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. A single man, a single woman is concerned about the Lord and how he or she can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. A taken woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her boyfriend. Interchange it. When you are in a relationship, you have another person to care for. It's a beautiful thing, but it means that there is always inherently distraction from the Lord. How is singleness a gift? Your focus can be 100% solely on Jesus Christ, on the triune God, on the Holy Spirit, on God the Father, on Jesus Christ. Your focus, your gaze can be fully fixed on him. Now there's, within this gift of singleness, there is a danger. And so if we go back to the other slide, Andrew, just one back, it says this in verse 9, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I'm going to give you the PG-13 translation of that. For it is better for them to marry than to have uncontrollable lust. For it is better for them to marry than to have an inability to not have sex. For it is better for them to marry than to stumble around and sin sexually. Singleness is a gift because it is your season to get that burning passion under control. I don't care if you're 14 or 18, if you're guy or girl, hormones exist. Everyone has them. Your singleness is your time to get it under control. Friends, your addiction to pornography is not going to disappear once you get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Your struggle with masturbation is not going to disappear once you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They are going to just be problems and sin situations that you bring into that relationship that is going to hurt the other person. And so what is your job to do while single? And I pray that there is no one in this room that this is true for, but I know that more than 50% of you this is true for. It is your time to get that burning passion under control so that you do not bring it into a relationship and hurt someone. It's in the scripture for a reason, because Jesus understands hormones. And the mistake that you can, and a lot of you have already made, is that you can make your season of singleness into a season of sleeping around. You can make your season of singleness into a season where you allow yourself to be out of control because you're single, and once you're in a relationship, all will change. Friends, let me tell you, that is not true. I have seen far too many relationships broken because of what people bring into them. The issues, your problems that you have while single will become problems that you have while you are married, while you have a boyfriend, while you have a girlfriend. And it's uncomfortable, and there's tension there, but there's tension there because it might be conviction. There's tension there because it is uncomfortable, because this is completely countercultural. This is completely counter what culture tells us. This is completely counter what music tells us, what movies tells us, what TV shows tell us, what some books tell us. And I want to be candid. I want to be honest. I'm going to talk to some of you directly. First, the dudes. Some of you are Snapchatting 15 girls a day, flirting with all of them, thinking it makes you cool. May I be honest? It makes you a tool. No, and I say this, hey, listen up. Shh. I say this because it is causing damage. It does not make you cool. See, your boys might give you a high five. But that's meaningless. It's hurting people. It's hurting yourself. It's doing nothing for you. And so put down Snapchat. Pick up your Bible. Hit the ground. Put your face to the ground in prayer. Go to worship. Use the hours a day that you spend on Snapchat and actually put that to work towards your relationship with Christ. See, I'm to the point with some of you where I'm like, okay, you can come to me and talk to me about how your relationship with Jesus is struggling. Show me your Snapchat, and I might be able to show you the problem. And, you know, the reality is that, girls, this is true for you also. It's not simply just prescriptive, but, girls, a lot of you are saying things like, I don't need no man. But you do, and his name is Jesus, and you are ignoring him. But seriously, you are ignoring him. You are ignoring him and what he is telling you to do. And so what do you do? What do you do? Drop your pride, hit the ground in prayer, pick up your Bible, go and serve, go and love people. See, we live in a culture that is influencing the way that we view relationships more than Scripture ever has. And so my challenge to you is this. Tonight, maybe in small groups, maybe once you get home tonight, think about how you view relationships. Think about how you view your singleness, and then compare it to what Scripture says. And then compare it to what culture says. What does it look like? Which does it resemble more? Because I can promise you, the way that culture views it is not life-giving. It's not going to help you. Friends, if you are single, your singleness is your opportunity to grow in likeness and in relationship with Christ. So do not waste that opportunity, because you are not going to get this time back. If you end up in a relationship someday, you will not get your time back from being single. I can tell you there were many nights. This was my rotation when I was at Bethel, right? Are you ready? It's pretty complicated. I was really busy when I was at Bethel. I would go to class. I'd get home. I would play video games until midnight. I would do homework until 3 a.m. I'd go to bed. I'd wake up. I'd go to class. I'd play video games until midnight. I'd do homework until 3 a.m. I'd go to bed. I'd wake up. I'd go to class. That's what I did for 3 years of my life. And yeah, there was other stuff interchanged there, but that's what I did for 3 years of my life. If I could get that time back and think about the people that I could have communicated the gospel to, it is wasted time. Don't get me wrong, I still love video games. I think video games can be good for your soul. I really do. I really do. I had a mentor once tell me, Matt, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is go home and play video games for an hour. There is significance in that. So I'm not condemning that, but I'm condemning the wasted time that you accumulate over your years of being single that can go towards the spreading of the gospel. And so if you are single, I want you to know this as I wrap up. We're going to be finished here in a couple of minutes. We're going to go to small groups. If you are single, I want you to understand this. You are not on JV. You are not second best. You did not get a consolation prize. That is not what singleness is. Marriage and being in a relationship is not varsity. And being single is not JV. Need I say more proof than the simple fact that Jesus was single? And we live in a culture that says that you are an incomplete person until you meet the person that will completely complete you. And that is absolutely incorrect. The most complete human being to ever walk the face of the earth was single, and his name was Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 says this in the Message paraphrase. It says, don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. And so, friends, what I need you to understand is that first and foremost, you are a child of God. Your relationship status does not define your identity, even if the culture we live in says it does. And so find peace in this simple fact. God has you exactly where he wants you. You are not doing something wrong. You are not JV. Submit to his will. Chase after him. Use all the time you have now to grow in likeness with Jesus Christ. Because 5 years from now, you will be thankful that you did. Let's pray. Jesus, we are thankful. Lord, I say it all the time. I start all of my prayers by saying that we are thankful. But Lord, it's the only thing that can even begin to describe our emotion towards all that you have done for us. Lord, you have taken each and every one of us who believes in you. You have plucked us out of our darkness, out of the darkness of sin and of the world and of culture, and you have placed us into the light of your love and proclaimed us as one of your children. And so, Lord, I lift up everyone in this room who is single. Every student, every leader, anyone in this room. God, would they understand that you have given them a gift? Would they view it not as something that needs to be filled, Lord, not as something that has a gift receipt, but God, instead, something that can be a catalyst of growth in their relationship with you. Lord, we love you. We praise things in your name. Amen. Hey, amen. Y'all can go to small groups. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Next week, Kevin and Olivia Klingbeil, they will change your life. I love them. Also, you all look beautiful, as I say every week, but it's true. You really do. Goodbye.